This is Veronica Morris, and you are listening to Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase. This is episode 80. Wow. Episode 80. Oh, my God. That has got to be crazy. Greg's been cranking out episodes week after week, day after day. They're going to have 100 episodes before they reach 1 year of their inception. I think that's pretty nuts. What do you think? I think that's pretty nuts. But anyway, all jokes aside, episode 80 today is going to be a representation of something that we can all relate to. I've brought forth a special guest where she has really taken it to heart. Her work, her diligence, her professionalism, her charisma, everything she does in life, she basically takes it to heart. And so today our episode is entitled, It's Personal. And so before I introduce our featured guests, I have something that I really want to read off. It's a nice quote that I believe will set the tone for what we're going to talk about before I introduce our featured guests. And it goes like this. No one gets to decide who you are except for you, period. No one gets to tell how you're capable or how you can become, period. People will undoubtedly talk and give their opinions like they know something you don't, period. And as some people will not believe you simply because they view the world from a different lens of impossibility, period. But my beautiful friend, you get to decide who to believe. You can believe the discouraged teacher and the pessimistic friend, or you can believe in the little voice inside of you that knows what you are made from, and that voice inside of you believes in you, period. Everyone that just heard that, I'm sure it resonates very close to home, and it's probably touching your soul. And I know it touched my soul when I read it because of the simple fact that this young lady, our featured guest today, was born in the greater Seattle area. She went to the University of Washington, majored in business, and then soon after pursued her career in San Diego. A year after that, she realized that she hated her corporate job and that she wanted to basically go back and do something that was something she aspired to do since she was a child, and that is real estate. For most of her childhood, her mom was a single mom, and not only did they migrate here from Moscow, Russia, but she saw her mom struggle. She saw her mom work hard. She saw her mom basically put forth and instill in her a lot of things that makes it very personal for our featured guest today. And she told herself as she watched and endured and saw all the great things and the sacrifices that her mom went through that she would never rely on anyone else or allow for anyone else to let her down. So as the only child of a single mom, they moved around a lot. Through moving around, it gave her some amazing opportunities and keen understanding of not only Seattle, but the East Side. And sometimes she felt as if she missed out on the experience of having a true sense of home. Whether you are a first-time buyer or moving for the umpteenth time, our featured guest serves as a guide and as a partner to help you find a true home. And she helps her clients move through that phase of understanding real estate. Her love for real estate is a deepful, meaningful experience for her, which basically speaks to her as she introduces new clients to their, hopefully finding their new home, and eventually turning these clients into her friends. When not in the office, she can be found walking the streets with her French bulldog Fonzie and keeping an active engagement with yoga, snowboarding, ice skating, and a bunch of other things that I know she is more than capable of doing, which I'll share with you guys later. She also tries out local restaurants, and she's an active member of the community, involved with the Junior League of Seattle, a collective group of women committed to volunteering and effective action in leadership in their communities. Now, everybody's probably going, well, who is this person? How do you meet? How, you know, what were the things that, Greg, why are you pulling this person in onto the show? Well, it resonates like this. This young lady is always representing her craft to the highest extent possible in quality and in service. And if you've ever seen any of her videos or you've seen any of her websites, she is on point. But the thing that stood out the most for me as to why I reached out to her and why I've asked for her to be a featured guest on our show is because I saw her travel to a part of the United States that I used to live in, an area that I find to be so free and so breathtaking that I couldn't resist because of all the great and wonderful posts that she was putting out there on IG. And that is when she traveled to Jackson Hole, because I used to live in Idaho Falls, for those of us that are listening that didn't know that. And so I know that part of the country is very majestic. You know, the landscape and nature's beauty just resonates in all of its splendor. Whether you're there in the summertime or there in the wintertime, it is absolutely breathtaking. And so without further ado, before I go too much further into this dialogue, I'd like to introduce Miss Veronica Morris and ask her if she has any opening remarks.
Hi there. I am just excited to be here, and thank you on that quote. Oh my goodness, that gave me tingles in the beginning. But I'm excited to just, you know, share, and at the very least, hopefully that I can either, you know, motivate someone or inspire someone for ideas, you know, or whatever it may be. Just give someone that kick of maybe what they need to do for their business, for their self, for their personal life, and how it relates to them. And, you know, again, making it personal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're definitely delighted to have you on the program. I think since our first introduction, you know, it's been like a engagement after engagement. You know, I mean, there's just been so many great things we've been able to laugh and kind of have fun with there on IG. But certainly when you think about the fact of it's personal, and in your case, from your background and your backstory, you know, it becomes a part of your mantra. You kind of say it's personal, but it really is. It's strictly business because, you know, as you have migrated, you and your mom have migrated here from Russia. I mean, what was that like? I mean, did you come across at a very young age, or were you already here? I mean, walk us through that.
Yeah, well, I will be clear. So my mom had migrated from Russia. I was born here shortly after. But, you know, just growing up with a foreign parent was already kind of difficult. You know, I love my mother, but, you know, there were things that she just didn't know. And, you know, growing from a little girl to a teenager, you know, sometimes I felt that I was in that role of having to be almost like the man of the house in some ways. But right. Just because, just, you know, there were little things that I, and she didn't know, you know, well, what's it like to do college applications, and how do you start this, and all those things that a lot of parents help their kids with. I had to figure that out on my own. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think that helped me in a lot of just being really innovative in my business and always kind of chasing after, okay, well, I have to learn this because there's no other way that, you know, it's not going to come to me.
Yeah. Well, certainly, I'm sure there's quite a few people that can relate. I mean, you know, when you look at the fact of your situation, and, you know, as I put in a little bit of a contrast, maybe there's kids out there, or maybe there's people that are listening to this podcast right now that, you know, their parents never went to college. And so they could be like first generation type of students going off to college. And they have that same type of dilemma, you know, like you said, trying to figure out, you know, how to charter through those uncharted waters and begin to, you know, put yourself in a most viable position for being successful and having the best possible outcome. So truly, relatable. So, you know, as you went through school and as you endured, you know, the business degree, and then you decided, hey, after college, you were going to move to San Diego. So was the excitement of moving to San Diego, was that great because of California? We all know California is a beautiful place to live. Or was there really, you know, some monetary value that really was driving you towards, you know, a significant opportunity? Help us understand that.
You know, I just had this epiphany where I was young, you know, I was in my early 20s, and I was like, you know, if I stay here, I feel like I'm going to stay forever. So I need to go try somewhere new. And that was going to San Diego. I had been there before, you know, after my mom did get married later on in life, you know, my stepbrother ended up being there. And so I said to myself, okay, you know, now's the time. You're going to just, I didn't know anybody. I pretty much packed up my car, got a pod, and poor mom was crying her eyes out. But I told myself I needed to try something new. And, it was, you know, I'm back now, but I will never, ever regret making that decision and just going with my gut and all those new opportunities that came with, you know, putting myself out there because I didn't have any friends there. And all these new things, I think, just helps you grow so much. So I will never regret it. And I still, you know, I smile when I think about my experience moving down there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of children or kids earlier on in life, particularly after high school, they decide, hey, I'm ready to see what the world has to offer. I was one of those. I, you know, as you're talking, I'm kind of raising my hand because, you know, right after high school for me, I joined the Navy. And a matter of fact, for me, I didn't have the fortitude to be able to wait. I wanted to, as soon as high school was over, since I graduated early, I wanted to kind of like jump into the world right away. I was like, all right, we can put college on the back burner just for a little bit and let's go, you know, experience this from a military perspective. And so for me, since I was still under the age of 18, unfortunately, my mom still had to sign and my dad had to sign for me to go off. So my dad was all for it. My mom took a little bit of convincing, but ultimately, you know, she was able to understand my position and my thought process towards, you know, the growth aspect and you know, just the sure aspect of being ready to kind of cultivate my own life and begin to, you know, set my own journey in the world and kind of move those things in the right direction. But I can commend you for that because, you know, a lot of people, they look back on it. Sometimes they say, oh, was that, you know, a bad experience? Well, why should I have done that? But then you have people like yourself and others that relish, even though it may not have been something, you know, glamorous or luxurious or whatever you want to call it, it provided you with a lesson. And then as you take that lesson, you begin to move that forward so that, you know, you have an opportunity to really know what it's like, in some cases, to sacrifice or to be resilient or to overcome in different situations of adversity, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, I think back to myself and even, you know, I've had my mom tell it to me is, you know, if you just would have stayed here, you know, you would have been X amount of years into your real estate business here and you would have X amount of more contacts and clients. But, you know, you just can't look at it like that. I say, you know, I could have, but I had this experience and I think that experience has brought me to the person I am today. And so I'd rather be that person because I like me more the way that I am now that I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree with you. And, you know, lots of props and kudos for being able to step out and have the courage to be able to do that. Because like I said, some do it, some don't, you know, and, you know, those of us that do, it's a monumental experience in life. And so, you know, you left San Diego. Were things going bad? I mean, you know, obviously you said, you know, you dislike your corporate job. I mean, what were you doing that was so bad, you know, there in San Diego?
Well, when I first moved down there I was down there for 4 years. My first move down there for the first year, you know, at that point I was like, well, I'll just get whatever job I can kind of get, you know, as a new college grad. So I was doing healthcare recruiting. So I was pretty much calling, like making 70 phone calls a day, trying to get travel nurses to work at hospitals. And, you know, one of those things I always look back, I think positively, I met some great people. I learned, you know, skills that actually I've taken in real estate. But I just was like, no, this isn't for me.
Sure.
So I took that leap, and it sounds kind of silly. I think I loved, as a child, I, you know, I loved the architecture, and I would sit and just look at these blueprint books. You know, after growing up, I think that real estate was more customer service based instead of math based. So I chose that route instead. And so I was like, I'm going to get my real estate license. So I did that. You know, I was in the real estate business for about, you know, 2 to 3 years down there before making the move. You asked me why I left. It wasn't horrible at all. I just, you know, my heart wasn't there anymore. And there was just something really pulling me back to the greater Seattle area. And I think that I had, you know, since I had left, I appreciated Seattle in the many ways I didn't see beforehand. Now that I've been back, it just feels right. I'm sure we've all had that feeling before, right? Where we're like, we're in the right place right now. That's how I felt being back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I certainly, like I said, hats off to you again for recognizing that. Obviously, you know, for me, I've kind of moved around, you know, in the military, you move around basically every 3 years. So you don't really plant the roots quite well. So, you know, from the young age of 17, when I joined, and then, you know, spending so much time overseas and back and forth and kind of all over the world, you know, there was really never any roots planted except for back in my hometown of Mississippi. And, you know, that's been something that, you know, I've toyed with for many, many years, but it's just, you know, I've never been able to bring forth the courage to say, I'm going to move back to Mississippi. I love the place. You know, I know my family's there, and, you know, there's so many great things, but, you know, I've always had that kind of different way of thinking and wanting to have a little bit of metropolitan life and city life and kind of country life, kind of all at my fingertips, let's just say within 30 minutes of a drive, you know, and, you know, those type of services. In some cases, there in Mississippi, particularly like when I, or the town that I grew up in, it was a pretty small town. It's grown now, but it's taken it a while to finally get to where it is today. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I've kind of said, I am not ready to quite go back. Now, I have been to Seattle, you know, because that was the other thing you and I talked about. And I'll tell you, you know, my wife fell in love with Seattle, like, hands down. I mean, if I was to say to her, hey, we're going to move to Seattle, Veronica's going to sell us a house, he'd be like, okay, pack everything up right now, we're leaving. But yeah, we loved it out there. I mean, it was a great little short visit for us. We went out for my birthday, not last year. It was my 49th birthday is when we were out there. And we stayed down, you know, near the, what is that, the Fisherman's Wharf or whatever the boardwalk area, you know, area
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Pike Place Market and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we had a wonderful time, you know, wonderful time while we were there. Yeah, it's just gorgeous, gorgeous place to be. So let's kind of, I mean, cause you know, the point here is, you know, I wanted to kind of get our listeners, give them a little bit of history, but now I want to really get them into why it's so important because, you know, the thing with you setting your charter for business and then you ended up in real estate, now they do both go hand in hand, but now the onus is on how you have embraced this in such a way to where when I say it's personable or personal, you have really taken it to heart. I mean, you kind of put yourself into your customer's shoes and your client's shoes. And I see that in your videos. I see that in your marketing material. And it just oozes out that you're the right choice when people consider looking at a real estate agent. And I guess what's the magic there? I mean, how do you bring forth that type of energy and that type of charisma and just getting your personality to show through?
That's a great question. I think I've always, I listen to podcasts. I listen to other top realtors. I read a lot of books. You know, I start my morning off. I get up in the morning. I work out. I do my self-talk. That's going to pump me up for the day. And that brings my energy forward. Now, I think that, I always learn that not everyone's going to like you. So You have to be yourself. That was a mistake. And I learned from my mentor down in San Diego is like, you have to be yourself. You can't fake it. You cannot be everyone's favorite person because there's so many different personality types out there. So it took me a while because in the beginning of my business, and I think what a lot of people do is they just try to cater to everybody, right? Well, That's a marketing 101 no, is that you cannot be everywhere. So I reeled it in, after it took a couple years, but, on my social media, especially because so many people go to the internet to find a realtor. I mean, shoot, you throw a rock, whether it's, you're Mississippi, New York, Chicago, like you're going to throw a rock at 10 realtors. So when people go to find you, they have to, vibe with you. They have to feel like they know you, like you, and trust you. And although I know that not everyone's going to be on the same level and not everyone might not like my style, I'm myself every single day. And If people don't like me, well, then I probably don't want to work with them anyways. So I attract the people that want to work with me. And then we have a great, client relationship.
Right. And I don't think I could even add any comment to that because that is obviously what pulls, Cut to the Chase, to be able to provide an outreach to you because of that. I mean, it was, when we looked at a few of your videos and basically the research, like you said, folks want to be in a position where they feel like they can relate to you. And I know there's a lot of that goes on out there. But what we found was something a little bit more meaningful. I mean, it was really kind of the trust, the integrity, the passion, the grit. And, even though people say grit is hard to come by, unless you've actually been there, you've done that. Outside of all of the rah-rah glitz and glam and various things that you can kind of put a persona out there in front of people, I knew that there was a story behind all of this. And your bio shared that with me, the grit part, the fact of the single mom, the fact of, the struggles and all those things, because that, like you said earlier on, that's what makes us, that makes us the individuals that we are today. And that is really, really the key, towards making it personal because, ultimately we all have, triumphs, successes, and failures. And throughout those, it's the lesson, it's the motivation, it's the determination, and all those things are kind of combined in the aspect of, when people are looking to buy a house, And I would have to say, I even told my buddy that's out there that lives in Portland, I'm like, hey, you should check her out, man. He's like, well, I'm not interested in buying a house right now, Greg.
Well, hey, I appreciate that in the first place.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, there's some other key essential pieces to this. I mean, that I think is kind of unique as well. So did you professionally ice skate at any point in time in your career, or amateur ice skate at any point in time in your career? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but, you know, I tried to do a little bit of, you know, backstory here, and very interested to find out if that's like true or false.
I was not a professional ice skater, but my mother and grandmother were. So I ended up skating from the age of 2 until about 14. So I was competitive. I wasn't to the professional point quite yet. I'd switched to a new school, and I remember they thought ice skating wasn't cool. So then I felt I felt embarrassed. But and same thing, you know, for me that competitive sport. You know, I think that also has come to, whether it be my work ethic or, you know, how I do things, I think that caters to a lot of it as well.
So you're also tied into the community quite a bit, you know, with the Junior League of Seattle. So you care to share with our listeners a little bit about what all that's about?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit difficult now that it's been COVID, but I was a part of the Junior League in San Diego, and, you know, I started up here in Seattle for a little bit, but, you know, it's an organization of nearly, you know, over 1,000 women that are committed to just volunteerism and helping out in the community. They focus on a certain, you know, sore subject that's been going on in San Diego is sex trafficking. So I want to be able to contribute to my community in any way that I can. And it's been actually difficult during the COVID situation, but, you know, as soon as we're able to just get out there and help people, that's what I want to be able to do for my community, because my community gives a lot to me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly, certainly appreciate you sharing that with us. So as we're getting close here on our time, you know, I kind of wanted to go through a few rapid fire questions with you, particularly as it relates to real estate. And then maybe we'll weave in some fun facts as it relates to, you know, it's personal.
Yeah.
So with regards to like buying a home, you know, before somebody approaches you as a realtor, should they understand where their credit lies, or should they wait until after they talk with you?
I think it's always a good idea to just be to know it. I don't think it doesn't hurt at all, because mostly you will be talking to a lender when it comes to the credit and the loan applications that all tie in together. But hey, you know, it's always important to know that number, because, and then you come to me, you know, and we can make a plan of, hey, does it need to get higher? Are we good right now? But I'd say always know it.
Sure. So the difficulty in dealing with someone wants a more traditional style home versus a craftsman style home, how do you delineate and differentiate, you know, putting them back into the middle of the fairway?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it depends on the neighborhood, because especially in the greater Seattle area, you'll notice that a lot of different neighborhoods have different style of homes. The downtown area, you know, Green Lake, these little neighborhoods have a little bit more craftsmen, old school homes. So I think that I would then guide to, hey, you know, what's the route here? Where is the neighborhood that we want?
Sure. So, all right. So I'm going to throw you a twist here. So does Fonzie like a milk bone dog biscuit or a real bone?
he's a bulldog. He's a carnivore. He wants a real bone.
Well, cool. Veronica, this has been great, opportunity to talk with you, and, certainly, to talk a little bit about, you know, it's personal or personal, and the fact of what that means to you, and all the things that you've endured, of course, you know, through your childhood and your growth and your successes and triumphs and where you are today in your career. It's been great spending the time with you. And so what we want to do is we want to kind of wrap up and, you know, are there lessons learned or takeaways or value added key points that you would like to leave with our listeners, particularly as it relates to the fact of the things that significantly have helped transcend you into taking these things to heart and really understanding their significance and value?
Yeah. So I think my key point would be, you know, always be yourself. Your brand is going to be your image. You know, the first people, it's 2021. It's the first thing that people do is they look you up on the internet. You want your brand to be professional. You want to come off as ethical. That, you know, that means your reviews from other clients. If you have one bad review, well, guess what? You could have 10 good reviews, but what are people are going to focus on? They're going to focus on that one bad. So that's why with every client, with every transaction, you know, depending on what that person's career is, you know, give it your 100%, because the moment that you slack off, it's going to be recognized, and that recognition, you know, negative recognition will be much brighter to people than those positives, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we close out, with regards to those listeners, that may be interested in contacting you to purchase a home or seek advice about neighborhoods in the Kirkland area or the greater Seattle area, how would they go about doing that?
Well, I'm everywhere, as we talked about. So you can find me, you know, we can give out my contact information, but, you know, it's veronicamorse.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. You know, whatever way you reach out, I make it very easy for my clients and for prospective clients to get a hold of me. And I'm very good about getting back to people. So, you know, find me whatever way is best for you and we will chat. And I would love to share about just Seattle in general. It's a wonderful city, dear to my heart. And I love teaching people about it.
Cool. Well, you know, certainly we appreciate having you on board. And I've got one final quote to kind of close out our segment here. And the quote starts out, it says, "Note to self, you can't control how other people receive your energy. Anything you do or say gets filtered through the lens of whatever personal shit they are going through at the time or moment. Which is not about you. Just keep doing the things with you that maintains integrity and love as much as possible." And so through the example of what we've talked about today, through our discussions with Ms. Veronica, I think it's a clear understanding and appreciation for someone that lives, eats, sleeps, and dies by the fact of it's personable for her. It's in her heart. It's in her DNA. It's in her blood. So if you are looking for a home out there in the greater Seattle area, which I know we've got Cut to the Chase fans out there, look her up, you know, give her a shout, because I tell you, she's the real deal. And so without further ado, this has been episode 80. Yes, people, episode 80. That's correct. We're moving. Thank you very much, Veronica. Have a nice day, everyone. Take care and bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you and catch you on the next episode.